Namahi ke koutou katoa. Greetings to you in your bubbles, from me in my bubble. I will definitely begin with prayer. Me noi tato. E tō mātua i te rangi, me te ihu kraiti, me te wairua tapu. Hō mai kia mātou tō māramatanga, tō rangi mārie, tō kaha, me tō aroha. Mō ēnei rā. God of the heavens, Jesus our Christ, and the Holy Spirit that unites us, be with us as we navigate this time of isolation and intensity, of remoteness and nearness, and where our online and our offline rhythms have significantly changed. God, we ask you to speak to us afresh today from your word and help us to be a blessing in our homes, our community, our country, and this world. Ake, ake, ake. Amen. So for those who don't know me, ko Tapuai o Unuku te Maunga, ko Rangatāne o Wairau, tōku iwi, ko Val Animoa Gould, tōku ingoa. It's my name. And I had the privilege of being Andy Shuttle's colleague in TSCF for many years. And currently, I am beaming in from lockdown in Pōkeno. Greetings to you all. Some of you might vaguely remember that I have spoken to this community before, when you were doing a series looking at biblical characters who had spent time in the desert, and I was given the opportunity to speak about Hagar's experience of being seen and heard by God in ways that were radically different from those around her. So it is intriguing for me that the passage I felt compelled to speak from today is from that same time in biblical history, but from the lives of people that are probably a bit more familiar to Christians, that of Abraham and Sarah. The passage we are looking at today introduces us to what has become known as the Abrahamic Covenant. This is the scripture that was read out earlier in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, and I'd encourage you to have this handy as we talk today. These three verses have been continually challenging me, particularly over the past 2 or 3 years. So I'm going to try and share a bit of my ongoing learning from this passage with you today. But even if you forget a lot of what I talk about, I hope that you will take away 2 key questions from this passage to think about more deeply. Firstly, what is the significance of covenants to us today? Listen to that again. Firstly, the first question is, what is the significance of covenants to us today? If you are viewing this in the company of others, perhaps you could turn to each other now and as a group try and list as many covenants that you know of from the Bible. If you are viewing this on your own, perhaps you could try and mark on your fingers the amount of covenants that you can think of. I'm going to sing quietly the chorus of Karia Mai, but like our hand washing songs, and you have until the end of the chorus to think about of as many biblical covenants in your bubble as possible. So here goes.
Rarotui te pō. Hei kona hau titiro atu ai. Ora mate e au kweno.
So, I wonder how you went. How many did you get in your bubble? Perhaps you mentioned the covenant God made with Noah, with its reminder of the rainbow, which some of us may have seen in the coming past days, and that we see around us, may see around us even in times of lockdown. Perhaps you identified the covenant between God and David, or the one between Moses and the rescued Israelites at Mount Sinai. I wonder if you mentioned the friendship between David and Jonathan, which is described in some of the verses using covenantal language. There are many that would see elements common to covenants in the creation accounts. So is that in Genesis? Is that a covenant for us to think about? There's also the discussion by Paul, for example, in Corinthians, of this mention of an old covenant and a new covenant. The Bible also identifies marriage and the ceremony of communion as being crucially linked to the concept of covenant. Covenants are often considered so significant to the understanding of the Christian message that earlier Christians were known as covenant people. Covenant thinking was a key element of the discussion between the early missionaries and tangata whenua. So much so that Te Reo names the two major sections of the Bible, Te Kawanata Tawhito, which means the Old Covenant, and like this book, Te Kawanata Hou, the New Covenant or the New Testament. There is so much that we could examine in Scripture to learn about covenants, but we don't want to get too overwhelmed in the details in this moment, so I'd really encourage you to spend some time and look at the different covenants and some of the related Scriptures on your own or in your bubble later. For me, one of the most important things I've learnt is that covenants are fundamentally about relationship. Some covenants are formal and some are informal. Some have lots of stipulations and obligations, while others have very few. But whatever the level of detail, fundamentally, covenants are about acknowledging that you are committed to a relationship with another person or community. Covenants are about relationship. There is a significant difference between covenants and contracts. The great thing about covenant relationships is that there is a recognition that at least one of the covenant partners may not be perfect and may not always honour and respect that relationship as is hoped, but the covenant encourages and commits to an ongoing relationship and, when necessary, provides a way to restore relationship. A covenant calls people back into relationship even when that relationship goes through times of difficulty or sin. Last week, during Easter, we had the chance to remember this afresh when we were reminded that God wants relationship with us. And even though we have all sinned and that we constantly put strain on that relationship, God has made a way through his son Jesus, for us to be called back and restored into ongoing relationship with him. We who are believers are in a covenantal relationship with God. And this brings us back to the specific covenant that we're looking at today. What is the significance of the Abrahamic covenant for us today? Does this covenant from thousands of years ago still have significance for us in Aotearoa? Not only was this particular covenant incredibly formative for the people of the Old Testament, but the Bible spells out that those who are not ethnically descendants of Abraham are the beneficiaries of this covenant. In Galatians 3:7-9, we read, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." In other words, we have been blessed with the good news of God because of those who have believed and responded to the covenant that we are looking at today. But in this covenant, there are two parts. God established that Abraham and his descendants would be the beneficiaries of God's blessing, but they would also be the agents of God's blessing to others. If we are the beneficiaries of God's blessing, like Galatians sets out, are we in the same way given the challenge to be a blessing to others because of this passage? So if the first key question I wanted you to consider is, what is the significance of covenants for us today? Then the second key question from today's passage is, what does it mean to be blessed? And what could it mean for us to be a blessing to others? Blessing is a particularly popular word with Christians that has very limited use in wider society. We also have to wrestle with the inadequacy of English to translate and to capture a deep concept in Hebrew thinking. What are some of the most well-known scriptural usages of the word blessing? Well, it's first used in Genesis as part of the creation account. Clearly, it's used here in Genesis 12. Some of the other most significant ones would be when it's used in the Psalms so many times. It starts in Psalm 1 with blessed is the one and cursed is the one. But throughout all the Psalms, there is this recurring phrase, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. I understand that recently you've been working your way through the book of Matthew and that you looked at the Beatitudes where we see blessed are, blessed are. The Hebrew word for blessing sometimes translates in scriptures as happy, but I think this is particularly inadequate in a number of the contexts we've just named. It does not fully encapsulate the Hebrew meaning. The way we often use the word, people think that it means good things, but this is not always a biblical way of looking at life. Being blessed by God does not always mean that we have a life full of good things. As I've been wrestling with the particular word of blessing over the past few years, the best description I have for the concept is to encounter, experience, or express what right relationship between God and his creation can be. I'll say that again carefully. Blessing is to encounter, experience, or express what right relationship between God and his creation can be. You could try using this fuller definition or a description from your own engagement with the scripture, wherever the word blessed or bless or blessing is used in scripture. So when God says to Abraham, I will bless you, I think this means that God will give Abraham encounters, experiences, and expressions of what relationship with him could be. This covenant promises that God will continue to give to Abraham and his descendants, and according to Galatians, to you and me today, encounters, experiences, and expressions of what relationship with God could be. And the second part of the covenant says that that through Abraham, all the people of the world would be able to encounter, experience, and see expressions of what relationship with God could be. God is eternally faithful in giving us the opportunity to encounter, experience, and see expressions of what God, of what relationship with him can be. God blesses us all the time. The challenge of being beneficiaries of the Abrahamic covenant is that all of us have the opportunity to point others to God by living lives shaped by God's character. We do not earn God's love by what we do, but we give others a chance to see who God is by being a blessing to others. We saw this lived out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we have just been remembering over the Easter season. A life that was shaped by righteousness, love, peace, hope, and justice. Look around your bubble now. What are some of the glimpses of what relationship with God is meant to be? We see it when we encounter, experience, or see expressions of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Perhaps you want to share with one another and give thanks to God for any examples of these blessings that you have witnessed in your bubble in recent days. We see God's blessing by the provision of the scriptures so that we could have a resource to get to know him more. We see God's blessing through all creation, and we have an opportunity to learn more of who God is as we become more observant and careful of the world around us. The Abrahamic covenant constantly challenges me that as I am reminded of any of the ways in which God has blessed me, I am in turn given the opportunity to give others a chance to encounter, experience, or have expressed to them who God is and the relationship that he desires to have with all of us. And so I return to the key questions I would love you to wrestle more with as individuals, in your bubbles, as a church community, in this nation and in this world. What is the significance of covenants today? And in what ways have you been blessed by God? And in what ways can you be a blessing to others? I'm learning more and more each day about how God wants relationship with me, and in turn wants me to help others encounter, experience, or see expressions of the relationship God desires with everyone. As I walk around my neighborhood in my government-approved exercise, as I engage with people both online and offline, with all who I relate to in my work, with the way I understand and speak of what is happening in the world. And a real area of passion for me is to see how a deeper understanding of covenant and the desire to be a blessing to others might transform how we understand the significance and the implications of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. I believe this scripture challenges us to think about how we might form relationships between tangata whenua and all those who have been invited to make Aotearoa their home because of the Treaty of Waitangi, that are reflections of God's desire for relationships between peoples. I have heard that there have been some conversations among your church community in this area, and I would encourage you to keep journeying with this challenge in your context. If you would like someone to talk to about the challenge of this passage in the context of your lives, and particularly the challenge to be a blessing in the context of Aotearoa shaped by our commitment to one another, as expressed in Te Tiriti o Waitangi, then Andy can put you in touch with me. But I want to finish with a prayer for us all in this particular time. In your bubble, in your community, in this nation, in our world. May we know that God has blessed us, and may we be a blessing to others. So let us pray. Me inoi tato. May the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the unity we have by the Holy Spirit be with us all. Kia tau, kia tātou katoa. Te ata whai o tō tātou ariki a ihu kuraiti. Me te aroha o te atua. Me te whiwhinga tahitanga o te wairua tapu. Ake, ake, ake. Amen.